While that's going around, I'm going to have Ian play a testimony from the Brownsville Revival. It happened in the 90s. It actually started on Father's Day in 1991. And the reason I'm doing this is because we've been praying for quite some time for revival, and I believe it's here, and it's going to increase. And so I felt like this testimony was really good. Karen sent it to me this week on Monday or Tuesday and said she thought we should play it on Sunday. I watched it, and I agreed. So let's just watch this, and then it's going to take us into where we were going to go in the sermon time today. It's probably going to be a little different than normal.
Now, folks, when you see someone like this and you just make a snap judgment and you see someone doing something like this, you may say, oh, man, you know, what's going on? But I want to tell you, this girl, she's a brilliant girl. Her mother's a school teacher. Her father's a doctor, medical doctor. And these girls have been raised in Brownsville Assembly. I know their life, and they're godly girls. But God, during this revival, has gotten a hold of them. And her sister is Elizabeth, that's given her testimony on television and here on Friday night in the church. And this is Allison. And God uses her when it comes time for the altar call and things like that. He uses her in intercession. And you'll see her back there really under the power of the Holy Spirit beginning to intercede for lost souls. And she's never done anything like this. I've known her for many years. I've known these girls since they were little bitty girls. I mean, like this, I've known them. I've been their pastor. But I know beyond any doubt whatsoever that these girls are being moved on by God's Spirit. And Allison, if you can, sweetheart, I want you to take just a moment and just share what the Lord's doing in your life and what's going on.
I'm 19 years old, and I've been through high school, and I'm in college now. And at the beginning of this revival, I didn't come for the first week. I was like everyone else. I wasn't so sure about it. And church had always been kind of just a requirement anyway. So it was the second Sunday of this revival that I came to the night service. And Steve preached on, I have a verse for it. It's in Matthew 6, 24. It says, "No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other." And what Steve preached about that night was, you cannot hold on to the hand of God and onto the hand of the world at the same time. And all through high school and college, I've known God. Well, God has had a place in my heart, but he didn't really have a place in my life. And I never thought that God had anything to offer other than just sitting at church, and I'd never given him a chance to do anything in my life. So I was constantly running after the world. I was running after what I thought I had to have something that the world would give me. But whenever I heard that, what Steve preached, my eyes were opened. Like Steve preached last night, Satan, he blinds us. And I was blinded by worldly things that I thought I had to have and worldly friends that I thought I had to have. And all it took to totally change my life was for me to listen and really hear what these people, these men of God are trying to say, what God is trying to say. You know, the Bible says people, they have ears to hear, but they don't hear what people are trying to say and what God is trying to say to them. And I listened that night, and God totally opened my eyes. He changed my whole life. I was terribly depressed because I had enough of God in me to know what I was doing was wrong and to be miserable doing it. And I was in the most horrible position you can be in. God says himself, he'd rather spit you out of his mouth than have you be lukewarm, because you're no good to anybody unless you're hot or cold. So I'm hot now. That happened to me the first week of the revival. And like they say, you don't have to search after the manifestation. The manifestation is on me now, but it wasn't for a long time. I came to lots of meetings and I got prayed for, and I never felt anything physically happen, but my whole life was transformed. And now God has given me the gift of intercession, and he's allowed me to feel, the Holy Spirit has allowed me to feel just part of the pain that he feels whenever people don't listen to him. I've realized that the Holy Spirit, he's here. He's waiting on all of us. Just a tiny bit of our heart to want him. He'll come in and change your whole life. He'll change everything.
Yes, he will.
Everything.
Whenever this is on you, Allison, you don't have pain, do you?
No, it's not painful at all.
You know, seriously, whenever someone sees someone like this, that's manifesting the Spirit of the Lord, they think they're under pain or they're under duress. But it's not like that at all. Tell them what it's like.
Well, there's two different kinds with me. Like right now, I think the glory of God is so strong up here, my body just can't really take it. And that's why I'm doing this. But there's other times whenever I come into God's presence and I don't move at all, but inside me, it's like there's just waves of God inside of me. Right. And then there's other times whenever I'm interceding and it's not painful to my body, but it's painful to my heart, because I know that God loves people so much, and he's in a hurry. He wants everyone. There's not much more time. He aches and he grieves for your spirit. He grieves for you.
to it or take away from it. If you're in this building tonight and you're away from God, there's sin in your life and you know it, you need to come back to Jesus. I want you to get up from where you're at and come to these altars right now. Don't wait on anybody else. Get up and come. You need to run to Jesus right now. Get up and come right now. Get up and come right now. You're away from the Lord. I want you to come right now. Get up right now. Up in the balcony. You need Jesus to forgive you, to wash you, to cleanse you. You're spiritually dead. Get up and come right now to the altar. Get up and come right now. Get up and come. This is a message tonight. This preacher is not going to preach. This was a message tonight. This rarely happens, friends, and we're obeying God. We are obeying God tonight. Get up and come. You're away from God. Get up and come right now. If you're back,
I grew up in a Baptist church, and if I would have seen that when I was younger and less experienced in the Lord, I wouldn't have known what to do with that. You know, I would have just been like, what on earth? Is it demonic? Is it, you know, whatever? And a lot of us don't know how to measure whether something's from God or not. If it's a manifestation that makes us uncomfortable, it's actually our emotions that make the decision for us. And the truth is that God Almighty is almighty, and he's powerful. And when the presence of God comes, there are various manifestations. Sometimes there's laughter. The scripture talks about unexpressible joy or unspeakable joy. I don't know if you've ever contemplated what that might look like, but it does look like things that happen around here sometimes. Sometimes we come in on Wednesdays and to pray, and people are just laughing almost the entire time. And first few times it happened when I was in prayer meetings elsewhere other than here when I was younger, I was thinking, are we accomplishing what God wants to accomplish with everybody on the floor laughing? There was a lot to pray about in here, and we never got to it. And it got kind of funny after a while, because then you realize the scripture talks about deep groanings that God causes to come forth through the Holy Spirit when we don't have words to say. And sometimes the words to say are laughter, or just an expression of the joy of the Lord, and it's what he happens to be doing. So I have a sermon ready, and I'm not going to do it today. I'm just going to give an exhortation, and it's some things that Pam and I were talking about this weekend. Many of you went to the Graham Cook conference. We had the upstairs 406-408. It was on webcast here. She said she was very blessed by this. I've been informed about what was being taught, what he was going to teach, you know, a month or two ago, and we talked about the pastor's meetings and things. And I believe the message that he's carrying is absolutely right on. It's necessary for us to shift from our expectations about who we are in Christ to a fuller manifestation of who God is in us and as a church. Now, when the Brownsville Revival started, it was about 1991, 92, somewhere in there, and it started on Father's Day, which is just like God to do that, isn't it? And It's funny in some respects, just to think about, you know, God deciding in heaven, I'm going to do this on my day, you know. But he's got an awesome sense of humor. You know, he's the most loving being that exists. He's the kindest being that exists. And I want to paint a picture for you. I'm going to have Pam come up here and share one of the Graham Cook stories that he shared about how they took a community. Here in a minute, but we want to paint a picture for you of where where God's taking us as a church. And so, Pam, come up and share that story, because I wasn't there at the meetings, but I love this one. I think I've heard him say it before, but this is my wife, Pam. Everybody say hi, Pam.
Love you too. What? No, I'm fine. Good morning. It's always dangerous when Steve gives me the mic, but So I did get to go to some of Graham, and it was fantastic. I thought, Tyler, I know you weren't there, but when you stood on your head today, and like, this is so God, because I think the message that Graham's bringing is a perspective change. And it's like, we need a perspective change. And And when you stand on your head, things are kind of funny because they don't look like they should look, right? And if any of you have heard Graham, you know that he's learned something that a lot of Christians haven't learned, and that's just how to totally go into the love of God and just receive that. And that's something I've struggled with my whole life, believe it or not. Even though I was a pastor's daughter, I had this works thing, and God's disappointed, and that's so not his heart, you know? It's like, oh my gosh, he just loves us so much. He loves us so much. Anyway, it's so fun to listen to Graham and go, oh my gosh, this is truth, and it's freedom, and it's wonderful, and it's life. And I know, and I'm going to share the story. I will do that. But one of the things that he kind of brought out in this story is that wherever we are, and I know we've talked about this for about a year or so, but I know we need to keep talking about it until our hearts get it. You know, our brains kind of have begun to understand it, but maybe not our hearts yet, is that this church is here to bless this community. And there is a God that loves this community, and they need to know that. And that's why we're here. That's why we're here. That's why we go out on Tuesday nights. That's why we have the block party, and that's why we have vision to do more here. And so it's like this should be the most blessed neighborhood in the Tri-Cities because we're here, and God's here, and God loves this community, and he wants to do that for them. Anyway, so Graham Cook shared the story of when he was still in England that they would target a community. And so his example was they did a 1 square mile community. And so they moved like 50 to 80 families, if I'm right. Isn't that what he said? Into this community. And so the people would go in and buy homes in this community, and they'd find out where the hot spots in this community. And this is England, mind you, and so pubs are a big deal over there. And so they would find the best pub in their area, their 1 mile radius, and they would go to this pub and they'd find out, okay, what's your greatest night? When do you have the best business? Well, Friday night, we have great bands. And they go, well, what night do you have the least business? Well, Tuesday night. And so Graham's like, well, of course we know we have God and he's greatest at everything, so we have the best band ever. So we're going to come in on Tuesday night. So they asked their permission, can we bring in a band on Tuesday night and play at your pub? And I'm like, sure. So they bring in their band Tuesday night, and of course they have all these people that have moved into the community, so they all come too, and so they have a great crowd, and other people come into the community, and they have the best band, of course, ever. And so pretty soon business is greater on Tuesday nights than on Friday nights, and not only do they have a great band, but they have prophetic words, which do more than beer can do, right? And so anyway, so it's this whole wonderful idea of bringing in the presence of God to a community, to totally bless a community so they can experience the love of God. So anyway, it was just pretty phenomenal for those of you who were there. For those of you who aren't, you can get the CDs and listen to them.
We're just doing some obedience. This young lady heard that she was supposed to come sit up here, and it'll be okay if she's here. It's not going to hurt anybody. And you know, one of the things that when the Holy Spirit shows up, you just let things happen, and you let God sort them out. There was an argument between two evangelists here in America back in the 1700s. One of the evangelists' name was George Whitfield, and he had holy laughter and people falling down in his meetings. And one of the evangelists, the other evangelist, heard about this, and he wrote him a letter and told him, you got to get a control of this mess and stop. You know, get this stuff stopped. And he says, if you do that, you're going to blow out the fruit, too. You just got to let it come and then let God sort it out. Because you know things by their fruit, and fruit takes a little while to develop. It goes in from a seed to, you know, vines and flowering, and then there's fruit that occurs. What a lot of people think is things out of order aren't. It's just simple things that God's doing. I don't know if you think God sat in heaven and decided that church should look like church in America, where everybody comes in and sits on pews and folds their hands and is quiet and listens to a choir sing for them, and somebody do the organ, and somebody do a 3-point sermon and a poem, and God calls that church. That's not what happened. I can't find that in the scripture anywhere in here. You know, so there are times when, in extraordinary times, when the Holy Spirit just does things, and you check on it, and you make sure it's safe for people. But she's not carrying any weapons, and so I think I'm okay. You know, I just do. So if we're going to host the Holy Spirit, we need to come into a place of comfort with Him and with each other and be able to do that. And there are times when we're going to have to use something that's called the gift of discernment, a discernment of spirits. It's in the scripture. And that gives people like me insight into whether something's from God or not, whether it's a distraction or not, whether it's in order or not. And we all get to learn together. And we won't treat people harshly who make mistakes. We just embrace them with God's love. You know, so I'm preparing us for a revival that's coming. I hope you guys are getting that. It's like what we've experienced here is just the birth pangs. That's all it is. And it's been the fun kind, the joy that the baby's coming, you know. I had revelation come to me in the middle of the night last night. I want to share with you. That's why I'm not doing the sermon. I figure this is fresher, so it's probably tastier. And it's fresher bread. But anyway, the Lord showed me last night that it's going to get messy here. And as if it wasn't already, you know. Worship this morning was pretty hysterical. Sometimes I stop worshiping, I just watch, and I go, okay, if I was a visitor, what would I be thinking right about now? And then I go, okay, this is cool. So here's what I saw last night. This God is so funny. He speaks to us in language that we can understand, and He was showing me kind of a little movie of what our role is and what we're going to be doing here, and it was pretty sweet. And it started off with this man walking into this meeting that I was supposed to lead, and he said, I love riding my motorcycle really fast, and he looked like kind of a biker dude, and he goes, I was over on the other side of the hill, and they don't let people do that over there. And so I came here, thank God for the Tri-Cities, because I can be who I am and who I'm supposed to be. And then the Lord shows me, I was looking around the room and I go, oh, we're the spotted and speckled sheep, aren't we? And, you know, people who have histories and and people who've had a little problem in their life in the past. And then He took me outside and there was all the children of these people. And it was in a cave. And there were all these little miniature Bernese Mountain Dogs running everywhere, dozens of them, with all these little kids playing with them and playing in the cave. And I'm like, we're a prophet's cave. We've got a lot of immature prophets, and they have a lot of immature gifts, and we're going to have to help them grow up. This is what He's showing me. You know, and it was messy. It was really messy. And and then He showed me that we're about ready to take off. And it was an amen, but it was I had put my flight information in my bag that I had checked, and I just had a small bag with me. It had new clothes in it, stuff I normally wouldn't wear, and I realized what's coming is going to make me a little uncomfortable. You know, I'm going to be in some new clothes, but not stuff I'd normally buy. It's not a dress, so you can be okay. You know, it's like, there are pants and a shirt. Come on, you people. Anyway, and then I realized that as I was looking at this stuff, I needed to get some help because I didn't know where my flight was. So I'm walking down this corridor in this airport, and a man and a woman stopped me. And they said, are you Steve Watson? And I said, yeah, can you help me find my flight? And they said, they're holding the plane. And I'm like, oh, good, we're not going to miss it. You know, we're a little confused, a little messed up, but we're not going to miss it. And I said, what flight is it? And they said, United. What God does here in us and through us will be because of the unity. So you got to protect that. If you want to be in a fight right now, protect the unity of the church right now. Don't let strange stuff come in and allow it to get between you and others in the church or you in leadership. I'm going to tell you the enemy's super unhappy with what's happening here. I went through 3 days of severe warfare the end of this week. That's part of why I wasn't at the Graham Cook stuff. I was just needing to deal with the warfare going on. I've been around long enough to know that when God starts to move in a place, that the enemy wants to salt it with his weird stuff and bogeys and, you know, false light and false things. And I'm grateful now for my seminary and Bible school training, because I was trained in the scriptures and in doctrine, sound doctrine, etc. And I wasn't always grateful for that, to be honest with you, but I really am now. And so here's some of the ways the enemy comes at a church when to mess with the unity. It can be over doctrine. It can be over manifestations, which is why I thought it was a great idea to show the video. That was mild compared to what can happen. I've been in meetings at Toronto where there's 3,500 people, and well over 200 of them were manifesting more than that. In fact, well over 500 of them. I've been in meetings where... Steve Hill was the evangelist who was doing the altar call. He didn't do a sermon that day. Steve Hill came to Boise in the midst of this revival for 3 days. They did two or three meetings at night. Some of you were there, weren't you? Roger and Rebecca, were you guys there? I remember when we were doing the training during the days at this big Assembly of God church, the presence of God came so powerfully. People just got on the floor. You know, it was like, it was an awe of God, you know. And I was being trained at that time to learn to stand in God's presence, but there's a difference between his presence and his glory. So after a while, I figured out, I better get down. You know, there could be this giant sickle come from heaven. Whew, you know, every nut job like me who's still standing up goes down. I'd rather just get down. So anyway, the enemy will try and divide over manifestations. He'll try and divide over God, the presence of God. He'll try and divide over doctrine. He'll try and divide over people issues. What are those? Well, what if someone wants to do something and they say, they get told no, and then they share that with several people in their offense, and then people take up the offense? Now, of course, that would never happen here. It happens everywhere, doesn't it? It's like you just don't let the enemy get that. You slam the door on the foot. We had JWs come to our door when I was a kid, and we had those huge oak door. And my mom wanted them to go. I didn't know any better, but I knew that they were bad. You know, the Jehovah's Witnesses, they knew they were false doctrine guys. I was probably 10 years old. And the guy was so insistent on talking to her, he stuck his foot in the door. It was a mistake on his part, because I took the door and went bam on the foot. And he moved his foot and they left. And my mom wanted to spank me, but she's so grateful that I helped her, she didn't, you know. Why did I tell you that story? I don't know. It just seemed funny to me at the time. No, sometimes you got to fight for stuff, you know, and not fight each other, but fight for the unity. Keep the unity. You know, that guy was busting the boundary, and I probably busted his foot. You know, they left with a limp. What else can happen? Lots of positive stuff. We have so many prophetic words pre-telling what's going to happen here. And we started getting them years ago, even before we planted. And we had to grow up to be able to walk in what God wants us to walk in. And he's been waiting for us. We haven't been waiting for him. We've always had his presence. Every believer has the presence of God. The scripture says so. And it's true that we all have the presence of the Holy Spirit in us. But there are times when we feel led to ask for more, and this is the time to ask for more. And when we say more, am I saying that God's presence in each one of us, and then here corporately, can be increased? I'm saying that the power can be. The power can be, and it will be. Do you think he wants to do it? Here's what I think. I think that in the next, few days and few weeks, some of y'all are going to have some encounters with people and with God. And there's going to be an increase in your anointing in the realm of evangelism, and you're going to start to see fruit happen, and that's going to it's a small fire that's going to catch, and it's going to become a bigger fire. We don't want to quench the Spirit or pour water on the fire, do we? So we have to. It's like this: you treat the Holy Spirit like a dove. We've had these desert doves. There's two of them out at our house, and they're loud, and I can even hear them, and. They've been there about 10 days, and we haven't had them around for a really long time, as far as I know. It's been years, but there's two of them. They've been hanging on our roof and on the wire near our house, and when I'm outside working, I hear them constantly, and it's like the Lord's telling me through this natural thing that supernaturally he's present with us, and it's going to get louder. And we become more and more aware of his presence. And so how you quench the Spirit is you decide not to repent or come into agreement with God. And you harden your heart and you stiffen your neck. But how you cause the increase is you repent when he points out a sin. You guard the unity of the church. And you just say more, Lord, you're so welcome here. That becomes our entire attitude. So I wrote down in about 5 minutes this morning some things I want to share with you. The first one is a heart check. We have a heart check, a spirit check, and a physical check that we want to go through this morning just to see if we're ready, for what the Holy Spirit would like to do. So the heart check is, do we love messes, and do we see them as opportunities to train and encourage when those messes occur? I wasn't here Friday night, but my wife was. Rick and Kay were. Some others. Peggy probably was. And we had some new folks show up, which was great. and we had some children, and there was just a lot of activity. That's the way we'll say it. And when there's no ox in the stall, there's no messes to muck out. But when there's oxen in the stall, there's messes to clean up. And so how your attitude that you carry in your head and your heart determines how you're going to deal with something. And so if you see this and go, we've been praying for years that Friday night would fill up, that people who are in devil's grip would come and get set free, and their kids would get set free and introduced to Jesus, and they're coming. Oh my goodness, they're coming. There's new ones coming, and we're serving over 40, I think, almost every week now, and I heard it was closer to 60 Friday night, right? It was up there. Anyway, I'm like, that's increase. So here's what happened to John Wimber, who started the Vineyard Church movement years ago. He got saved, and he started bringing all the riffraff to church. And this old lady came to him, and here's what she said. You ruined our church. Because he brought all these people in. That would probably be the wrong attitude and the wrong spirit, right? We don't want that. We need to flush that with the other stuff that needs to be flushed, right? We want to go, oh, thank you, God, for bringing increase, and how can we help? Right? That's a heart check, isn't it? And so here's the challenge. The one of you that's taking notes today, I need to ask you to every day pray for the lost. If you are going to say, what's your strategy to see God move profoundly in the church, that's my first one prayer. If we're not praying every day for the lost and the prodigals to come home, we're missing what we're supposed to be doing. The second thing, ask God for spiritual appointments. Do you know what those are? That's where he puts somebody in front of you that he wants to he's been dealing with, and he wants you to share a seed or drop a seed, plant a seed, so that that can take root. Or he may want you to harvest because it's time. Because you're going to have, some of you are going to be planting seeds. Sometimes you'll water it. Sometimes you'll fertilize it. Sometimes you're going to harvest it. Just realize that's a spiritual appointment. God wants me there. He's bringing his people. Did you know the Holy Spirit literally hovers over the lost and he's wooing them to him? He's not going, look at that sin. Oh my gosh. This is horrendous. They need to go to hell. That's not what he's doing. He's like, I want to have a relationship with you. I died for you. I want to have a relationship with you. Just like the church people over there, the church lady. Just like the lady goes, you ruined our church. God wants to have a relationship with her. You know, I don't think I'd invite her over for lunch, but God wants to have a relationship with her. You know, so next question or thing to do is, are we ready to serve? David is going to need help on Friday nights with assistant leaders in groups and things, and eventually more groups will form. And we've known for a long time he needs somebody here to help direct traffic so he can be free to lead the thing. You know, there's kids that run around and do various things, and they don't know that this isn't a playground. A lot of them haven't been to church before. So we just need people who are willing to step in and go, hey, we don't run 90 miles an hour with a knife in the church. Yeah. We check the weapons at the door, and we hang out with our parents till it's time for the children's thing, which is upstairs. You know what I'm saying? He needs an administrative type, a bouncer. A spiritual bouncer to help him do that. It's not for me to do, or I'd go do it, because I like hanging out on Friday nights, but I get to bust tables when I'm here. And that's what I'm created for right now, you know. So if we're self-focused and focused on other than the kingdom, this would make no sense to us. But when we see things the way God sees things, he's looking down on this neighborhood. He's looked down on this neighborhood forever. And he's like, I bought and paid for that. Are you guys going to help me get it or not? Yeah, we are. Woo! He's going to empower us to go do it. We just got to get some feet going. And so how are we going to do that as a church besides the door knocking that's going on? I think that's really important, but that's not everything we're going to do. So in August, we're going to have a block party. And we're going to use the block party for a variety of means, but one of those is so that we can identify who the children are in the neighborhood, because in September, we're going to start a children's outreach here. My daughter Keziah said she's going to lead worship, so we're going to teach kids three things. We're going to introduce them to Jesus to make sure they're saved. We're going to teach them how to be intimate with God, connect with him and be intimate, and then we're going to get them focused on the kingdom. Those are the three things that we're going to do, all right? And in about 2 weeks or so, 3 weeks or so, as soon as Pam and I can figure out vacation and other stuff, we're going to have a meeting for everyone who's interested in helping with the, it'll be probably a Tuesday or Thursday night outreach and be at the building here. So our strategy is going to start with we're praying for the lost every day as a church. We're asking God to give us spiritual appointments. We're going to start, many of us are going to start going out Tuesdays with Brian and Pauline and Zach and Brett and the crew that does that. That's going to go on. We're going to get the block party set up and done. We're going to give invitations to the first night of the children's outreach ministry that we're going to start as a church. And so, you know, we're not just talking about kingdom. We're going to do the kingdom, and God's going to give us the land. It gives him pleasure to give us the land. You know, it just does. And if you don't think you're good with kids, I'm not. Ask mine. There's something you can do. There's something you can do. You can greet people. You can clean up messes. You can direct traffic. You know, there's a variety of things that we can do as a church. I just want to see all these little guys get saved and have their messy little puppies everywhere and help them, you know, help them walk with God. Second thing, that was heart check. Now, spirit check. Are you ready to take new ground? Like, when you see all the little kids and their parents and the people who don't have kids in the neighborhood around us, a mile north, south, east, and west, I don't know what we do, whatever it is. Do you go, that's God's and we're it. We're going to go help them get it. That's the attitude, that's the heart we need to get. This is our ground to take in the kingdom. I live in West Richland. Some of you do too. Some of you live in Pasco. It's okay. We're salt and light wherever we are. My neighborhood's mine too. There's some saved people there. It's great. They're not all saved yet. We have work to do. But here, this is ours to take. This is our assignment right here. We got kids everywhere. We got their parents. And they're warm to coming. The guys who've been knocking on door this year said it's warmer this year than it was last year. So obviously God is moving through us. So are we ready to take new ground? Or are we distracted? Or still stuck in the past on something? You know, God said this, seek first my kingdom and my righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So if you're seeking first his kingdom and his righteousness, whatever your needs are, they're going to be met. The enemy likes to make us think we don't have enough money. We won't be able to retire comfortably. We're going to be short of this, that, or the other. And that's a mentality that shouldn't be in the church. We see that's another fleshable, you know. We serve a God who's got cattle on a thousand hills, and he wants to have a slaughter. There's plenty of meat in the house. You know what I'm saying? So that's a spirit check for us. Are we ready to not only pray for people, ask for spiritual appointments, step out in faith and start the thing, but are we in a place of faith right now? Are we just, we're saying, you know what, God? We're not a bunch of Rhodes Scholars here, but it appears to us that you're starting to do something. Can we join in? You know? That is where this is supposed to go. And then the other thing to do is this whole issue of spirit check and getting your faith and your focus aligned on the kingdom. And that's this. Ask God for strategies. He wants to give strategies to take the land and to impact the land. Third area, this is the physical side of things. In our little shell here, or some of us have a little larger shell than others, how have you been doing? How's your mind been? You know, have you been distracted? You know, are you in good enough physical shape to get busy and sustain it? You know, some of us like me need to hit the gym a little more often and hit the refrigerator a little less. You know, but. So how's your energy level is what I'm asking. And this is important. It's not by might, not by power, but by the Spirit. But there are times when we let ourselves get burned out because we aren't feeding ourselves appropriately. We aren't exercising. And we're depressed because we haven't done the battles for our minds. You know, there's a battle for our mind, will, and emotion. The enemy wants it, and God bought and paid for it. It's rightfully his. You know, and it's a constant fuss and fight. So are we trusting God to do what he said he would do in the scripture, to take the ground? You know, or are we just too tired to think about it? That's an issue. Are we getting enough sleep? So here's what I'm suggesting we do. We need to give God our eyes, our minds, our hearts, our feet, our hands. Give him this whole package and let Jesus be Lord over every aspect of who we are and do what he's asking us to do to prepare ourselves spiritually in our hearts and then physically. He's really been convicting me for a few years to drop certain things and do other things, and I fight him on it. And when I have done what he's asked, I feel better and things go better. When I don't, I'm like, ugh. And I'm repeating this old thing, you know. Chocolate chip cookies aren't good for me. Well, maybe one might be okay, but 10, no. I wake up with the worst sugar buzz and yuck, and, you know, anyway. So Is your mind set on things above? You know, here's my body and here's my head. What am I focused on? Is it on things above? That's in the Bible. We need to be focused on things above. Are we dreaming about kingdom and unity and taking the ground, or are we dreaming about something else? I think that's so important. I don't know if you guys know the history of the Brownsville Revival, which is what you saw on the clip from the YouTube. That pastor, he's an Assembly of God pastor, and he used to get up at 2 or 3 in the morning and come down to his church when it was pretty dead, and he'd lay on the front pew and go, God, is this really all there is? Seriously, he would do that. He'd go, there's got to be more, God. What do you think God was doing when he was listening to him say those things? He's like, oh, there's going to be more. It's coming. I think I'll do it on Father's Day, you know. So I'm going to ask you guys, how many of you have been carrying in your heart something similar to what that pastor carried for our church, for the community, the seven city regions? I believe with my whole heart that it's God's desire to pour out his Spirit in the seven city region. He's got a bunch of pastors in there with me every Monday afternoon praying for that thing. And we can't get off it. We can't. We can't walk away from it. We're all pretty busy. We have a lot of other things that we could do with our time on Monday afternoons. But we got to meet and pray. You know, so what is he doing with you in your heart for this church, for the Seven City region, for the community around us? That's what we need to start focusing on as a church. Shift is a choice. And honestly, there are enough people in the Tri-Cities and churches in the Tri-Cities who are going to go for this. We could get left behind, you know. That's not my choice, and I don't think that's what's going to happen at all. I think it's been in his heart since before we planted this church, that we would have revival here. And that our kids that are already here would be leaders in it among the kids that are coming. I don't want to just raise good kids here. I want to raise leaders, kingdom leaders. I think about this a lot. We've got the most extraordinary kids here. I don't know if you've ever been upstairs in Sunday school or just sat around listening to them talk, but they're pretty spiritually insightful. Ari, Jamie's daughter, asked her mom, this is several months ago now, it's still one of my favorite stories. Before the church service started, I went into one of the pews over here or to make sure the little cards for visitors were in the backs of the seats. And Ari asked her mom why the pastor was stepping on all the angels' feet. She saw all the angels sitting in there. We've had little kids come up to us and go, they can't even talk yet, and they're pointing up, and they're seeing something. I think they're seeing angels, and they're just like, this generation is coming. They see things. They're a bunch of seers, and God's opened their eyes to the supernatural and to the spirit realm, and we get to steward that. And when I was looking in this encounter I had during the night at these kids and all their little immature gifts running around, and they were in this prophet's cave, it was hilarious. I realized that, whoa, there's kids coming. There's kids here who are supposed to be leaders in this, and there's kids coming. They don't have a clue about what they're going to do. They think they're just going to go to some meeting at night at a church, and they're going to get introduced to the King of Glory. And all that stuff they've been seeing their whole life will totally make sense. God gave me a gift. He has a purpose. And I'm going to walk in the prophetic, and they're going to affect nations. That's what happens in little places like this. I grew up in a Baptist church in Astoria, Oregon. I don't remember us ever having more than 150 people in a service there. And You would not believe how many guys within 10 years of my age ahead of me and behind me are pastors or went on the mission field. You would not believe it. Because they taught the word there and they believed God wanted to save souls. And that's the atmosphere I grew up in. You know, we didn't have all this. Wasn't time, you know. That would have been a phenomena there. But anyway, I just want to encourage you. We are stepping into extraordinary times here. So guard the unity. Pray daily for the lost. Ask God for spiritual appointments, opportunities to share. And when we're talking about sharing, share your testimony. Just go, you know what? I don't have a lot of answers, but I know God loves me, and I know he's called me into relationship with him. Here's what happened to me. It's really simple. And if you get into it with an intellectual, not that I'm against having an intellect or any of that, I'm just saying this. Your testimony is what is important. This is a true story. I just heard this from another pastor a couple of weeks ago. This pastor was speaking in a public event of some kind. It wasn't a church meeting or a Christian meeting at all, but he got asked to speak at some sort of blue ribbon cutting ceremony or whatever, you know, one of those kind of things. And obviously because he's a Christian and God's on him and he's anointed, it really rocked the place. And so this atheist walked up to him in front of everybody and challenged him to a debate the following week. And what would you do if that happened to you? You better take him up on it, right? But we're not interested in debating people's souls, your mind, will, and emotions, or your soul realm. It's the spirit realm that is important here. So he said, okay, I'll do it with you. I'm going to bring 100 couples from my church who are going to share their testimony about that proves the existence of God in their life. You bring 100 atheists and tell them how being an atheist wonderfully changed their life. The man looked at him in front of everybody and says, I'm not going to be at that meeting. Yeah, we didn't even have to have the debate, did we? No, our testimonies are, how do you overcome? By the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Everybody in here's got a testimony. If you're a born-again Christian, you met God somewhere along the way and he's done something in your life because he's not idle. You know, you can say, I used to have a problem with this, but now I've discovered who I am in Christ. I'm a new creature, a new creation, and I've overcome that because Christ is in me and I'm in him, and it no longer has a grip because Jesus came to set captives free. There's a 1 minute or less testimony. And if this person's struggling with that, you got their attention. Right? It's pretty easy. And you don't have to, like, make things happen. You can just kind of walk through life and stumble into them like I do. You go, oh, I just had a great conversation with that person. Oh, God probably had that planned out. I was just going to Home Depot. You know. You don't have to make things happen. So there's a fresh anointing here. If you'd like to stand and receive it, go ahead and stand. Because today's a new day. It's a new season, and there's a shift that's happened, and there's more shifts to come. And the testimony that we saw by that one young lady, she'll be like normal for here, probably. Do you have something you want to share?
I have a story I think I'm supposed to share.
Okay, Anita's got a story she's supposed to share.
I'm sitting here listening to Steve, and I'm going, man. And I'm hearing this, getting this awful urge that I'm going to have to come up and share this. I'm going, no, you really aren't going to make me do that. And he's talking about testimony and new spiritual encounters. And I'm, oh, man, I have to do this. So yesterday at work, you that don't know, I work at Fred Meyer in Kennewick. And I was walking around hating my job, and, you know, it's retail. So I know when I get a crappy attitude like that God's going to do something. So So I'm walking around on the floor, and I come across this lady with her two kids. She's got a baby that's about a year old, and her little boy was like three, I think. And so I stop, and she asked me about this toy she was looking for her little boy. I'm going, well, I think we have it, and blah, 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 we're looking. And she goes, that she has these three shirts laying in her car. She goes, so what do you think about these? Can I get your opinion about this? And she asked me about, does this one look good on me or whatever? So I'm telling her, well, it's a nice color, and I don't like that one, and maybe this one. So it progresses, and we go off and look for another toy, and she starts to talk to me about this problem she's having with her little boy, about his attitude about his younger brother. So I'm going, okay, this is really weird. She goes, and I don't usually talk to people like this, or tell people things like this or ask for their opinion, but, you know, what do you think? So I'm trying to, you know, okay, Lord, let me tell her about, I think, it's a jealousy thing. Maybe should try making him... the thing about being an older brother and the responsibility of that, and, you know, it's probably just a phase. He's jealous, and it's so weird when God does this. I don't get any phone calls. I don't get anybody overheading me to cashier or whatever, and he just puts me in this little bubble because we're standing there, you know, and my boss walks by twice and just looks down the aisle at us. So I think I was just supposed to share that to encourage you guys that it will happen, and I stumbled on it, like, you know, I don't usually ask for it, but this happens at work a few times, so that makes me realize that that's why I'm there, and, you know, so you'd have a purpose and a reason, and God is good.
Okay, let's do this part here. I don't know. God started without me there. Like, what's going on here? So here's what I want to encourage you to do. Some of you might be thinking, I don't want to shake like that lady. That was just really weird. Or, I don't want the responsibility to share with people I'm afraid may get rejected. Why don't we lay the fear down at the foot of the cross today and just say, Jesus, I'd like you to restore me today and restore my heart to the things of your kingdom. Let's start with that. We so want to restore our hearts back to you, Lord, today. We want to be yours. We want to see your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And so, Lord, we just give you back our hearts, and we just say, Lord, help us be kingdom-minded, kingdom-focused people. And, Lord, give us your burden for the lost. We receive it today now on us, knowing that you will allow us to express that love to people in our own way, the way you've created us, when it's time and in the right package, and that's going to be okay with us, and it'll be more than okay with them because they'll be ready to receive it. And so, Lord, we're just asking now for an anointing to come, that fresh perspective, that new insight, that prophetic insight, to be able to speak into situations in ways that are profound, that cause change. And Lord, we just ask now for the anointed word to come on our lips, our tongues, or in our mouths, but let it start in our hearts. And let it be your heart given to our heart, and let our heart carry that message with integrity and give it to the lost, Lord, and to the prodigal, to those who are struggling. And I think you can ask God for other things if you want, but that's all I'm feeling led to say we're asking for. Thank you for the fire that people feel in their feet. It's like you're carrying the gospel of peace. Thank you, Lord, for those who are sensing something in their left hands. It's their destiny to do this. Thank you for the gift of intercession coming on those who've yearned for it, or maybe who haven't yearned for it or have been curious about it. Lord, we just receive it to bear that burden, to see the lost and prodigals come in.